John 3, verse number 16 and verse number 17. John 3, verse 16 and 17. 1 Peter 18. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18 to 19. So John 3, 16 to 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19. And I'm reading this from the New King James Version. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." 1 Peter 1, verse number 18 and 19 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'm going to read 1 Peter 1, 18, 19 again. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. He did not give because we were good. He did not give because we earned it. He did not give because we deserved it. He gave because he loved. It was out of his own volition and his own will that he gave. But I want to speak about the process of the gift, or the gift process. But before we dig into the idea of the gift process, we have to work with a few definitions just so that we are all on the same page. The word gift is defined as a noun or as a verb. As a noun, it says it is a thing given willingly to someone without payment. So a gift is given willingly to someone without payment, as in the form of a present. Secondly, a gift can be defined as a natural ability or a talent. If we say you are gifted, that means you have an ability, you have a talent. So your talent is, or your ability is, the gift. As a verb, is defined as the act of giving something. So gift can be a tangible thing. Gift can also be the act of giving a gift. Now, we have to understand that when a gift is being given, there is a purpose to it. There is a purpose to every gift. And the purpose of every gift speaks about the one who is giving as well as the one who is receiving. In our verse, we said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." When he gave the gift, it spoke about his nature, but it also speaks about the one who is receiving it. Somebody say amen. Now, we have to consider also the very nature of our God. From the book of Genesis, the book of Revelation, it becomes very clear that our God is a generous God. James 1, verse number 17 and 18 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, saying that every good gift, so God does not give cheap gifts. Every good gift, not just a good gift, but every perfect gift is from God. When it says there is no variation or shadow of turning in him, there is no deception when God gives you a gift. There is no ulterior motive for your destruction when God gives you a gift. Also, Matthew 7, verse number 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is a generous God. John 1, verse number 16 says, and of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. So God, when God gives, he's not going halfway. He's going all the way, because he is a generous God. Now, when you speak about the gift process, which is the actual act of giving, there are three elements that must be considered. The three elements are the giver, the gift, and the recipient. So three things: the giver, the gift, and the recipient. These three things are connected, and that connection is called relationship. So if God, Bible says, God, for God so loved the world that he gave, God becomes the gifter. Whatever he gave, his son becomes the gift. We, the ones that are receiving, are the recipients. So three things: the giver, the gift, and the recipient. Now, since these three things are connected, and we call that connection a relationship, we will have to consider temporarily, or just for a few seconds, the quality of relationship. There are three states of relationship. Number one is no relationship. Number two is good relationship. Number three is bad relationship. But when it comes to you and I concerning God, having no relationship does not exist. We either have a good relationship with God, or we have a bad relationship with God. The Bible says that he is the potter and we are the clay. He is the creator and we are the creature. So we have a relationship with God. We also have to consider, when are gifts given, or where are gifts given? Some gifts are given in private, and some gifts are given in public. How do these gifts come? Some of the gifts come because we have asked. So in response, God will give. But some gifts just come out of the generosity of God. We did not ask for a savior, but God knew we needed a savior. So he gave out of his own will, not because we have asked. Every gift that you have testifies of the nature of the giver and of the nature of the relationship. Every gift that you have also speaks about the value that the giver has placed on the recipient. Whenever we consider a gift, we have to think about the motivation of the gift being given. Why am I being given the gift? Why is the giver being generous to me? How many of us know of the idea of a gift that comes with strings attached? Maybe it's just me. So we have to consider the motivation. Then whenever a gift is being given, there is an expectation on behalf of, or an expectation from the giver. of a particular response that must come from the one who is receiving the gift. When you give your child a gift, somewhere surely you are expecting a thank you. All right, it's going to get good now. I'm just laying out my foundation. So there is an expectation. But also when a gift is being given, there is an expectation as to how the gift will be used and also how the gift will be viewed. So how it's going to be used and how it is going to be viewed. When we consider how the gift is going to be viewed or how the response is going to be like when a gift is received, we have to consider the act or the idea of the value of a gift. How valuable is this gift? How much worth can we assign to this gift? When you speak about the value of a gift, you have to understand that there are different kinds of value that can be placed on a gift. You have the actual value. You also have a perceived value. You also have a desired value. A perceived value is what I think it's supposed to be worth. Actual value is what it is actually worth. A desired value is how much I want it to be worth. Some of the values we assign is perceived value, desired value. They are actually subjective. They change from one person to another. When we are speaking about value or the worth of a gift, there are two points that are used or two perspectives that are used to value a gift. There is a perspective of the giver and the perspective of a receiver. I can give something that is of high worth to me. That's me as a giver. But when somebody receives it, they may not place the same value that I have placed on it. Now, it also depends on the system that we use to place or ascertain a value on a gift. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you are valuing a gift, you need to have a level of revelation. Somebody say revelation. You need to have a certain level of revelation, especially pertaining to God. Why is God giving us His Son? Why is the gift of His Son so precious? You have to get a revelation. And that revelation comes from the understanding that man used to walk with God, created in perfection, but man sinned and fell short of the glory. But the only way that man was going to be reconciled back with God was through the shedding of innocent blood. No other way. And there is no man in the earth who can create innocent blood, because we are all conceived in sin and given birth in iniquity. Because we are of the seed of Abraham, sin is part of our nature. So there is no blood of a man that can redeem us to God. But the blood of the Lamb, without spot or blemish, can return us back to God. Hence the premium value on the gift that God gave us. Because the highest thing or the highest, the most expensive and valuable thing that a man can ever possess in this earth is a relationship with God. Not just a relationship, but a perfect relationship with God. For there to be a perfect relationship with God, there has to be a blood covenant. Now, whenever we are talking about revelation, revelation desires you to understand the value, not according to your system of valuing things, but according to the system of God. But God says, this is precious, because God knows what you need and where you ought to be and how to get you to where you are supposed to be. On your own, you cannot get there, but by with the power and the assistance of God, you will get to be where you ought to be, and you will get to become what you ought to become. That is why it is precious to have a relationship with God. Now, whenever you are valuing a relationship with God, it is also important to understand that your perception has to change. The way you see things has to change. In the absence of revelation, you are just something that is in existence just here on earth to breathe in air and do whatever you need to do without any purpose. That you are here by accident. But God gives you a gift of revelation to understand that you were made in the image and likeness of God. That God made you the pinnacle of His creation. That you are not a result of an evolutionary process, but you were designed by God, not just to be in the earth, but there is a specific assignment and purpose as to your existence. So you are here, not just to look pretty or ugly, but you are here because heaven has an assignment and a purpose for you. I would go to Jeremiah and tell you before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So you have the need for revelation. But when you are assigning value in terms of revelation and all those different things, we say the gift requires you to give a response. The natural response to receiving a gift is thanksgiving. You receive a gift and you give thanks. But there are certain things, certain factors that are critical and crucial in terms of determining your response to the gift that you have been given. Your level of gratitude for the gift is determined by the following. The methodology that you use to assess the gifts. Are you using the systems of the world or you are using the systems of heaven to assign a value to the gift? The second thing is what I call the meaning factor. What is the meaning of this gift? If you don't assign a proper meaning to a gift, you are most likely not going to ascertain a proper value to the gift. Another factor is the intention. What is the purpose of this gift? What is intended by the giver? Proverbs 21 verse number 14 says, a gift in secret pacifies anger. So there is a gift that is given and its intention is to pacify anger. And a bribe behind the back strong wrath. There is a gift that is given as a bribe. It's different from a gift to pacify and a gift as a bribe. Sometimes somebody gives you a gift because they want to be in your good graces. Sometimes somebody gives you a gift because they want something from you. The difference is when God gives you a gift, it's not because He wants something from you. He wants something for you. That is why He gives you a gift. The other factor in terms of us assigning value is the thought factor. The thought factor. How many of us have at some point in life just received a gift for no apparent reason, but just because somebody was thinking about us? And when we see that gift, we attach such a high value on it because they were just thinking about us. That is the thought factor. Psalm 139 verse number 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them all. Then the next factor is the necessity factor. That speaks of the need level. How much do I need this gift? It's because I'm going to preach myself just now. How much do I need this gift? It's not going to be, let's say in terms of money, it's not going to be how much money you have been given, but it's going to be what was the need when the money was given. Can I go a little bit deeper? You can get into a place whereby right now all you need is just $5 for a breakthrough. and somebody comes and gives you $5 right at the moment that you needed it. That $5 has a higher value at that moment because of the need. Okay, I'm going to have to work here tonight. You get into a place where, but I can give you a testimony. Back in the days where you used to pay money to go over the toll bridge, I really, really don't like to go through the 610 loop. I don't like to go through the tunnel, especially on a Friday night after Global Force, like 11:30. The only problem is I didn't have an easy tag at that moment, and I didn't have the $2 that was required for me to go over the ship channel. Okay. So at that moment, here I am on a Friday night, and I'm the one who's preaching. I get up there, and I preach my heart out. Say, Lord, this is the word you've given me. I'm going to do my job. But God, when this is over and done with, I really, really don't want to go through the loop. I don't want to go through the tunnel. I want to go through the toll bridge. But the problem is there are no two nickels to rub in my pocket. So I preached my heart out, delivering whatever God has said for me to deliver. After having finished my service, one lady came to me, said, the word you've preached to me really, really touched me. I want to give you an offering. The only thing is I don't really, really have anything to offer you, but I only got this $2 right here. In my spirit, there was a jump and a shout of praise because at that moment, that is exactly what I needed. Watch this. There was no way that you and I were going to be reconciled with God. Therefore, God made a way. God made a way. That is why the gift of Jesus is so precious to us. Oh, can I go a little bit deeper? Have you ever been at a place whereby you don't even know which way to turn? Whether you want to go left, you want to go right, you want to go forward, you want to go backward, because there are giants that are standing in every angle that you can take. But God shows up and there is just a little crack that opens. How grateful are you going to be? He did not open the double wide doors, but he just made a small way of escape. How precious is that small way of escape? Because the need for that thing is valuable at that moment. Can I go a little bit deep? I'm going to work this thing out before I go home tonight to say, somebody, you better place a value on whatever thing God gives you. It may be small, but your need is great, and that small thing is going to answer the need that you have. Ever been, man, I'm going to preach myself happy here, you know. Have you ever been in a place whereby there is no food on the table and somebody just knocks on your door and they have those six-pack burger patties. They have those six-pack burger bread. There was no food on the table. If those things didn't show up, you were going to go to bed hungry. But at that moment, that becomes a valuable possession, a valuable gift, because the need was greater. Sometimes in this life, we are waiting to see the big things before we give God praise. But God is giving you the little things that are taking you from one place to another, because the need that you have is greater. Can I go a little bit deeper and tell somebody, God knows what needs you have before you even ask. And God will not give you a gift that you don't need. He won't give you a gift you don't want. God will give you what is absolutely necessary. With James said, every good and perfect gift is from the Father from above. That means what, however small it is a good gift. However small it is a perfect gift, because your God is a generous God. Sometimes, how many of us know we are asking God for a gift? We are asking God for a breakthrough. We are asking God for deliverance. We are asking God for salvation. We are asking God for transportation. We are asking God for a change in our financial position or our financial situation. But God will not open up the windows of heaven and cause money to rain down. Oh, but God has to do is to visit you in the midnight hour, and all he has to put in your spirit is an idea. How precious is that idea? So you have to give God thanks for that idea. Sometimes when we are dealing with a gift, we ascertain value of the gift based on the obligation that is required from the gifts. See, sometimes every gift you get is going to place a responsibility on you. And some of us don't want to deal with the responsibility of the gift. We want to come and shout, yes, I want my money and I want it now. But the money is coming, but it has a kingdom agenda attached to it. But you don't want the kingdom agenda. You just want to go and spend it. Okay. God, I want a business. God, give me a business. And God says, here is the business, but there is a responsibility. You have to feed your neighborhood. And we say, you can keep the gift. I don't want to do that. Value. The next thing is the change factor. When a gift comes into your life, it's going to demand a change in you. It's going to demand a change in you. Some of us don't want to change. I want the gift, but I don't want to change. But the gift is saying, if I come, you better change. Okay, all right. Let me work a little bit here. When the gift comes, you better change the way you think. Change the way you behave. Change the way you act. Change the way that you walk. You cannot be walking shady. Can I go a little bit deeper? When the gift comes, because the gift is going to place a responsibility on you to walk uprightly before God. So change the way that you do things to show God, I value what you have given me. You cannot say you walk with Jesus and you are living like the devil. You cannot say you receive the gift from God, the gift of eternal salvation, eternal life, and live like you were a child of the devil. There has to be a change in your thought processes. There has to be a change in your behavior. Sometimes, you know, there are no young people, so I can say whatever I'm going to say. I'll get away with it. See, because God has given you something so precious, I cannot waste my life being in the club. The next thing is the benefit factor. How do I benefit from what you have given me? If I don't really benefit from what you have given me, I don't put a value on it. I just think, one of those things. Yeah, it's a gift, yeah. But if you could see what heaven had to move, if you could see what God had to change, if you could see what God had to do just to bring that thing in your life, you will put such a value on it. You are looking for the benefit. The idea of you being restored into relationship with God is more than anything anyone in the earth can ever give you. So you better get your life straight, get your act together, and live in accordance to what God has given you. There is so much benefit to have a gift from God, to have Jesus being the author and the finisher of your faith, to have him being the captain of your salvation, to have him being your kinsman redeemer. There is so much more. Because when you're walking with God, walking with God in divine alignment with him, there are angels warring on your behalf. The blood is speaking concerning you. You gain access to everything that was attained on the cross of Calvary. There is so much more. John 10:10 says, I came to give you life. Close be. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Besides the benefit factor, there is also the sentiment factor. Sometimes there are things that, you know, you get them from a friend, but get the same thing from somebody you regard highly, that thing becomes more valuable because of where it's coming from. Now, can I tell you something? There is nobody who is above God, nor anybody who is beside him. Everything else is below him. So if you are getting a gift from God, it is not only a perfect gift, not only a good gift, but it is coming from the most valuable thing that can ever give you anything. David made this exclamation, "Who is man that you are mindful of him?" Imagine the one who sits up high, who has the heavens as his throne and the earth as his footstool. Consider all the galaxies that we see, and to consider that he is thinking about you. You can never work and accumulate enough hours to warrant what God has given you. He's just bad like that, if I can say the word. He's just bad like that. He's just God. He is just generous. Out of the counsel of his, I love that, that word just freed me several years ago. Out of the counsel of his own will, he made a decision to bless me. He made a decision to give me a gift. Because if he was going to consult some people, they would have said Perkins doesn't deserve it. He is not the right height. He's not the right color. He doesn't come from the right background. But God did not consider anybody else, but out of the volition of his own will. Said, I'm going to bless this one. I am going to gift this one. So whatever I have received from God, there is such a higher value on it, because of where it's coming from. I did not earn it, nor did I deserve it, but God just gave it. God just gave it. Now watch this. Whatever value you place on something determines how you handle it. Anybody remember those days when you go buy a diamond ring, you don't wear it, stays in the safe? Remember? Or let me Scale down. When you go and buy that $15 watch like mine, and it's so valuable because of where I bought it from. Not because it's $15, no. But because I bought it from the Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, it has got a sentimental value. It's more precious. I don't wear it all the time. I keep it safe because of the value. But here's the thing. Do you realize sometimes God will ask you to give what he has given you? Abraham, thine and thine only son, give him to me. Okay, you are all holy and righteous in here. Let me work with me. She was talking about that $15 watch I bought from Amsterdam. Here's what happened to me. I was invited to a service. I didn't want to go, but I thought, you know what? Since I'm here, I might as well attend. In the Family Life Center, on a Tuesday night, there was a missionary from India. And for no apparent reason, I decided to wear my $15 watch from Amsterdam. So I go in the service. The man is giving his testimony. He's preaching. I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, give him your watch. I'm like, shut up, devil. Because there was so much value on that watch. So I had a wrestling match with God in my mind. I'm like, no, God, maybe I'm not hearing properly. Can you speak this ear right here? And maybe this one right here. Maybe you can say it with a different accent. Maybe, you know, it's... Until I get to the moment where I realize, you know what? This is not going anywhere. I might as well as relent. But there was so much value on that thing. Not because it was valuable in terms of its material, but because there was a sentimental value to it. And the Lord says, you see that man right there? Give him that watch. Like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. I gave him that watch. Then he spoke a word over me. He just gave me a verse. Zechariah 3, verse number 7. I'm like, oh, cool. Sit down and I read that verse. I'm like, oh, yeah. Then I realized, years removed from that day, years removed from that day, that verse was fulfilled in my life. Fulfilled in my life. And guess what? I buy these things over and over again. The best $10 I ever spent. But being not attaching a higher value to that thing and being able to give it open doors for me. So what I'm saying is, even though you put such a value on what God has given you, if he asks for it, just give it back to him. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And if God knows how to give good gifts, it means he wants to give you something bigger than what you have. Now, I'm with about 15 minutes. There is the deservedness factor in terms of placing value on a gift. Some people just feel like they deserve it. Because they deserve it, there is no value attached to it. Well, it was supposed to be mine anyway. I just deserve it. But once you realize that what God has given you, you did not deserve it. You did not merit it. It was because God is generous. He just gave it to you. Surely there has to be a song of thanksgiving that breaks out of you because, oh God, you have been so good to me. I know, but I could not deserve it. I could not earn this, oh God, but you found within your grace to extend it towards me. Oh, can I work this now? I'm going to preach myself. You get into a place where you realize you were not born in the right neighborhood. You were not born in the right bloodline. There was no hope for you because you were steeped in witchcraft, steeped in everything else. But there is a God in heaven who made a decision that I will not let this one die in ignorance. I will not let this one die in adversity. I am going to visit him on a day. That visitation has got so much value because I know where I ought to have been. But God brought me from a mighty long way. Not because I deserve it. Not because I merited it. But God made that decision. But this one, not somebody else, but this one, not another generation, but this one, in this generation, I am going to visit this one. I am going to be magnified in him and through him. Everything takes a whole new meaning to life. I don't deserve it, but he gave it to me. I am holding on to it for dear life. Because there are many generations that died without knowing him. But he said, not in this generation, not in this lifetime. I am going to go to Warren Park in Harare. I am going to visit this family. I am going to save this family. In Tara, here I am. Not because I deserve it, but because he is great. Not because I have earned it, but because he is mighty. God made that decision to say you are going to be saved. You are not going to go the way of the world. You are going to be saved. How precious is that salvation in your life? Why would God say, my grace is sufficient for you? You don't earn it. He just gave it to you because he is a generous God. But I'm speaking about the process of the gift process. When a gift comes in your life, it has to provoke something in you. What is it provoking in you? I hope it's not provoking any complaining in you. God, well, you know what? God is going to demand too much of me. I don't want to go there, so you might as well take your gift. God, I don't want to be in the limelight. When a gift comes from God, there better be a song of rejoicing in you. There better be a song of thanksgiving in you because God has been great. Don't magnify yourself, but magnify him who has given you. Don't praise yourself, but praise the one who has given it to you. It has to provoke a response in you. A response in you. It has to. That's why he said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You are given the privilege by God, a gift from God, to be able to come into his presence. there is a fullness of joy in his presence. There is peace in his presence. He has given you the privilege to enter in. So don't come in complaining. Come in rejoicing. Because he's a good God. Can I ask you in this room, when was the last time you thanked God for what he has done in your life? When was the last time you just sang a song for no reason? I worship you, O God, because you are mighty. I worship you, O God, because you are so good to me. But here's the thing about Thanksgiving. The thing about Thanksgiving. We are waiting. We are waiting for the gift that we put a high value on. But God is saying, that's nothing compared to what I already gave you. The very fact that you are breathing is a gift from God. The very fact that you are alive is a gift from God. So you cannot say, I'm waiting for that business to come before I can give God thanks. Just because you are here, give him thanks. He has been so good to you. Comparative factor. Sometimes we get caught up in this idea of comparing things. Why did God give me a Mini Cooper, you know, one of those? I so want to drive one of those things. I don't know. Everybody wants the BMW, Mercedes-Benz. I just want to drive that Mini Club, Mini Cooper, Club Mini Cooper. I just want to drive it. Not to own it, but just to drive it, to say I've driven it, you know. So sometimes you get into a place whereby God gives you a specific car. You are not grateful because you did not want that one. You wanted this one. All right, let me go a little bit deeper. God gives you a house in Pasadena, Texas, and you are complaining, I wanted one in the Woodlands. Because you are comparing. You are comparing. When you compare things and judge them by what somebody else has received or what somebody else has been given, you miss the point. You miss the point. It's not the bigness of the gift. It's the consideration of the giver that must provoke thanksgiving in you. So all I can say in this room tonight, stop comparing what you've received from God. Just be grateful with what you have. Give God thanks for all that you have. Can I go a little bit deeper right here? There are some gifts that God has given us that we must be cognizant of. Number one, God has given us eternal life. You must embrace it. He has given us wisdom. You must embrace it. He has given you a name. You must embrace it. He has given you a spiritual gift. You must embrace it. Well, I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a prophet. I don't want to be a prophet. I want to be an apostle. I want to have a title behind my name. Thank God he just called me Perkins. I came to this realization a few weeks ago. I was in my house and I'm doing my thing. And I realized the best gift, birthday present my parents ever gave me, you know what it is? It's my name. That's the best birthday gift they ever gave me. They did not call me John. They call me Perkins. And guess what? If I was called John, you wouldn't know me. But they call me Perkins because there was a destiny attached to that name. So there are some of us in here, we complain about our names. Why did you give me that name? God gave it to you. Embrace it. Don't complain. It's a gift from God. There is a redemptive element in your name. I can tell you mine, the reason why I love Perkins, because Perkins means rock. I found the meaning of Perkins, rock. I'm like, yeah, I can be like the Apostle Peter. Yeah, you know, Petra. What I'm just saying is I've learned to be grateful for what I have. When I get into a place of prayer, all I can say, God, I thank you for my family. I thank you for where I was born. I thank you for how I was raised. I thank you, God, for all the struggles we went through because I saw your goodness through it all. I didn't even know you, but you were watching over me, protecting me from dangers, sin and dangers unseen, orchestrating my life for me to get to where I am. I have found I have no reason to complain. I get mad once in a while, but I won't complain. I'm just mad. But all I can say is God has been good to me. And every gift that God has given me, I have no reason to complain. But just to say thank you, God, for all that you've given me. Because I know that every good and perfect gift is coming from you. You don't give cheap stuff. You give everything to the fullest. I have every reason to say thank you, God.